Subheading. Those falling away have gone deep down. While the demons were undoubtedly the unseen spirits instigating the Bethaven calf worship in the days of Israel, it was the very kings of Israel and the priests of God, the nation's leaders, who were instrumental in misleading Jehovah's people into apostasy and the snare of idolatry. That is why God said to them, "Hear this, O priest, and pay attention, O house of Israel, and you, O house of the king, give ear, for with you people the judgment has to do, because a trap is what you have become to Mizpah, and as a net spread over Tabor, and in slaughter work those falling away have gone deep down, and I was an exhortation to all of them." In view of his past successes in overreaching and ensnaring God's servants in idolatry, no one should imagine that the devil is at all opposed to the idolization of the watchtower in modern times. For a certainty, the demons promote anything that detracts from Jehovah's glory, including the insidiously subtle worship of Jehovah's visible organization. Satan the devil is without doubt the most ardent promoter of the Watchtower organization, cleverly disguising such organizational idolatry as pure worship. An angel of light indeed. And a potential snare for all of Jehovah's Witnesses during the judgment, as described at Hosea 5:1-2. Let each Christian witness of Jehovah discern by the Spirit of Jehovah the significance of Hosea 4:15, where is found God's stern warning to the faithful not to join in attaching the name of Jehovah to the golden calf of Bethaven. Although you are committing fornication, O Israel, let not Judah become guilty, and do not you people come to Gilgal, neither go up to Bethaven, nor swear, as Jehovah is alive. But how may it be discerned that the prophecy of Hosea applies to Jehovah's Witnesses and the Watchtower today? While the prophecy of Hosea is set in ancient times, the relevant issues between Jehovah and his people have not changed. Jehovah's worshipers today face the very same challenges to their faith as did the Israelites. For that reason, the message of Hosea, as well as the writings of all the other prophets, are just as vital today as when they were written centuries ago. In fact, the book of Hosea seamlessly connects the primitive worship practiced by Israel to the time of Christ's arrival. Consequently, we read at Hosea 3:4-5, "It is because for many days the sons of Israel will dwell without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without a pillar, and without an ephod and teraphim. Afterwards, the sons of Israel will come back and certainly look for Jehovah their God and for David their king, and they will certainly come quivering to Jehovah and to his goodness in the final part of the days." The final part of the days has reference to a specific period of time when God commences his judgment, beginning with his own house first. The sons of Israel are, in reality, spiritual Israelites, and David their king is Jesus Christ. Seeing that the prophecy foretells the sons of Israel will come back and certainly look for Jehovah their God indicates that spiritual Israel is yet to become estranged from Jehovah due to the falling away of some of her anointed priests, thereby leading the organization into apostasy. Through Hosea, Jehovah declares that the purpose of the words of the prophets is to correct and discipline his people. At Hosea 6:5, God says, "That is why I shall have to hew them by the prophets. I shall have to kill them by the sayings of my mouth. And the judgments upon you will be as the light that goes forth. For in loving kindness I have taken delight, and not in sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than in whole burnt offerings. But they themselves, like earthling man, have overstepped the covenant. There is where they have dealt treacherously with me. The words of God through the Hebrew prophets are intended to chisel and shape God's people and kill off, through judgment, the tendency to rebel against Him. No other people other than the Israelites and their priests could overstep God's covenant for the simple reason that no other people were in a covenant with Jehovah. The same holds true today. The words of the prophets are likewise directed to the congregation of anointed Christians who, like the ancient Israelites, are also in a covenant with God. For example, Jesus also says that He will wage a war of words against anointed Christians who do not repent of their idolatry, saying at Revelation 2:16, "Therefore, repent. If you do not, I am coming to you quickly, and I will war with them with the long sword of my mouth." Should it be supposed that Jesus is calling Christendom to repentance? Or could it be that the sacrifices and whole burnt offerings of Hosea 6:5 relate to the ritualistic worship of Jehovah's Witnesses? Could it be that God is not so pleased with the millions of hours Jehovah's Witnesses boast of sacrificing and preaching because of neglecting more important matters? Clearly, to have overstepped the covenant, a people must first be in a covenant with Jehovah. Only anointed Christians, spiritual Israel, are in a covenant with God through their mediator, Jesus Christ. That means that those who have dealt treacherously with Jehovah are Jehovah's Witnesses. But in what way have Jehovah's Witnesses dealt treacherously with Jehovah by overstepping His covenant with them? Hosea highlights two specific areas that God's people have gone down deep in bringing ruin.